The Bible says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Now that's the church, amen? The bride, the Lamb's wife. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as a breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, a chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, a chrysoprasus. Is that how you say that, ladies? Ladies know about bling, right? So did I say that correctly? Probably not. The 11th, a jacinth, and the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you for another day to be alive. Thank you again for the privilege to be here in church. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth. Thank you, Lord, that we have the truth in your Word, Lord, to read, to study, to tell us what we need to know. And Lord, I pray now that you would help me as I try to preach your Word. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Put in my mind and my mouth, my heart, exactly what you want said. I pray for liberty and clarity of thought and speech. Lord, I pray for each one of us here to be attentive, to be alert. Help us, Lord, to genuinely and truly accept the truth of the Word of God. Lord, help us to receive it into our hearts, and any decisions we need to make, I pray you'd help us to make them. Lord, we thank you again for all you do for us. Most of all, we thank you for salvation through your precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross for the sins of the whole world. And if there's somebody here today that's lost, we pray that this day would be their day of salvation. And I ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I'm going to preach a message this morning titled, "Build That Wall." Build that wall. And I want to begin by saying, unless you live with your head completely in the sand, You know that for some time there has been much debate about building a wall to protect and secure our southern borders from those who would come here illegally. And as usual, most people have made this a political issue entirely. But whenever you look into the Bible, and therein lies the great problem, because the majority of Americans have absolutely no regard anymore for what the Bible has to say. Most people could care less what the Bible says on any subject, let alone the constructing of a wall. I've even noticed that many so-called Bible believers will reject the Word of God when it runs contrary to their political party of choice and its political agenda. And just let me say, you can profess to be a Bible believer all you want, but if you reject the Word of God for any reason whatsoever, you are not a true Bible believer, okay? To be a Bible believer means that you take "Thus saith the Lord" on every single subject, every single issue, every single topic, no matter what it might be. That's what it means to be a Bible believer. The Word of God is the final authority in your life, and that's how it ought to be for everybody. Amen? But whenever you look into the Bible, when you look into the Bible, the Word of God, you see that the cities, and I'm not talking about heathen cities here, although they were as well, but I'm talking about those inhabited by God's people. Those inhabited by God's people, those cities were surrounded by walls, each and every one. In fact, if you want to see the value of a wall to God's people, really, you only have to read one book in your Bible, and that is the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah deals in its entirety with the rebuilding of the wall around the city of Jerusalem. And what you find there is that Nehemiah and a group of other Jews fought through all sorts of intense persecution and reproach and shame, laboring night and day in order to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem that was destroyed 70 years earlier when they were taken into Babylonian captivity. But obviously that wall was significant and of great value to those people. Let me say, if you are a child of God, do I have any children of God in the service this morning? If you are a child of God and you don't like walls, I feel sorry for you. I really do. Because the city that will be inhabited by God's people throughout eternity is surrounded by a wall great and high. That's what the Bible says right here in verse number 12. I kind of threw you off a little bit with the text I chose this morning. When I read this, I'm sure most of you's mind went to a real positive place. Most of you's mind went to heaven and our home in the future and how wonderful that's going to be, and it certainly will. Amen? But I'm not really going to talk about that this morning. You'll see in a moment what direction I'm heading with the message. But if you look right here in verse number 12, it says about this city that it had a wall great and high. And six different times in this passage we just read, the wall of this city is mentioned. It's mentioned there in verse 12. It's mentioned in verse 14. It's mentioned in verse 15, verse 17, verse 18, and verse 19. We're told about its gates. We're told its dimensions. We're told about its foundations. But over and again in this passage, we're told about this wall. So the city of God, y'all still with me? The city of God, prepared by the Lord as a bride adorned for her husband, that is going to come down out of heaven from God and that will be inhabited by the people of God, will be surrounded by a wall. That means, since God prepared it, that God likes walls. Amen? Obviously, it has to mean that. If God builds the city, he constructs the city, and he puts a wall around it, at the very least, you have to say God doesn't have a problem with walls. Amen? You have to say that. But here's the thing I want you to understand. I'm not going to be preaching this morning on the wall or the subject of the wall being built along our southern borders, but I would like to go on record as saying that I support the building of that wall. Okay, I do support that. Matter of fact, let me just go on and say that I support any legislation that protects the American citizens from those who would do us harm. I support that. It doesn't matter if people in other countries get offended by that or not. I don't live my life. I hope that all of us will get to the point in our lives where we don't live our lives based on whether or not we offend somebody that's not even a citizen of this country right here. It is a shame to me that people who do not live in this land, that have never made a sacrifice for the things we have in this land, are able to dictate what we do and don't do in our own country because we're afraid we will offend them. I'm not worried about offending those people, okay? Now, I don't wish any of them harm, all right? I'm not some hate monger spewing out hate speech, but I don't care if they like or don't like what we do here in the United States of America. And I am for any legislation that protects the American citizens from those who would do us harm. I realize that not everybody who wants to come to this country is a murderer or a drug dealer or somebody that's wanting to drag our country down. I understand that. But I also have enough sense to realize there are people in other countries that hate the United States of America. And they want to come here because they desire to infiltrate our country with their doctrines and their religions and their beliefs and do anything they can to bring our nation down. I understand that. So I'm all for any legislation that would protect our American citizens. I'm for legislation that would protect all of you. Amen? I am for legislation that would protect my son, my wife, myself. I am for that legislation. And if part of that legislation is putting up a wall to secure our southern borders, I am for that. And I don't apologize for it. But again, I'm not going to preach on that this morning. And I'm not going to preach on this wall necessarily that surrounds the city of God. I'm going to preach on some other areas where we need to build a wall. And these that I'm going to talk about are just as important. In fact, I feel like they are more important. Because if these walls are not built, y'all listening to me? If the walls I'm going to talk about are not built, then our country is finished morally and spiritually. It will not be people who are foreigners that come in and ruin us. If we don't construct these walls in these areas, we will self-destruct. We will be finished. We will be ruined. Our country will wind up in a heap of rubble morally and spiritually if these walls are not constructed. And they have to be constructed because of liberals in our land in every area. It doesn't matter if you're talking about politics, religion, whatever. Whatever area you're talking about, there are liberals. Amen. People who simply do not care what the Word of God has to say. And these liberals, whether they would say it with their mouth or not, desire to control our country. They want to run the country and they want to carry out their wicked agendas within our country. So it is imperative that the people of God build these walls and protect these walls and do everything they can to maintain these walls that I'm going to talk about. And understand, the foundation for each of these walls is the Bible. Y'all still with me? The foundation for each wall that I'm going to discuss is the Word of God. We must not ever try to build on the shifting sands of opinions, preferences, or politics. We must always build on the firm, never-changing foundation of the Word of God. That must be the foundation upon which we build these walls I'm talking about. It has to be that way. You understand a structure is only as good as its foundation, right? Isn't that correct? A structure is only as stable and good as its foundation. If you build on anything other than the Word of God, then you don't have a sure foundation. So these walls, the foundation for each one, will be the Word of God. They will be maintained and upkept by the people of God through their faith, their commitment, their dedication to the Word of God. That's how these things are constructed. That's how they remain in place. It's the people of God. We cannot, listen to me, I'm talking to the church this morning. We cannot look to the world and expect the world to uphold the values and the teachings of the Bible. It's not going to happen, friend. It resides, that responsibility resides on those of us that are born again, those of us that are saved, that believe the Bible. We are the ones that God is looking to in this country. Do you realize this morning that God is not looking to Washington, D.C. to uphold the moral and spiritual standards of the Bible? He's not doing that. Now, it would be great if Washington would do that, wouldn't it? Anybody's got any sense? No, that ain't going to happen, though. I tell you who God's looking at more than anybody else. He's looking at His people. That's who He's focused on in this country. He's expecting us to rear up these walls, to take a stand, to maintain these walls through our faith and our commitment and our loyalty and our dedication to the Bible, irregardless of what it might cost us. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. But what good is what we say we believe if we're not willing to make some sacrifices for that? And you think about it. Look around at all of the freedoms and the things that we enjoy here in America. Haven't there been many people through the years that have paid the ultimate sacrifice for us to enjoy what we have in this country? Amen. I thank God for that. I really do. But what about us saved people? What about the people of God? How loyal will we be to the Bible? How dedicated will we be to the Word of God? Will we raise up these walls and stand against persecution, stand against tribulation, stand against anybody that would try to tear down these walls? God's looking at us. And here's the first one of these that I want to talk about this morning. Walls and areas that need to be built. Let me say, first of all, there needs to be. And I can't believe, when the Lord put this message on my mind and my heart and started giving me the ideas, I thought, I cannot believe that as a preacher, I even have to mention some of these things. The very fact that I have to mention some of these shows you just how far down the tubes we already are morally and spiritually in this country. It's amazing. I'm blown away. I'm in shock that I even have to preach a message like this. Let me say, first of all, there needs to be a wall constructed between the she's and the he's. The she's and the he's. Go to Genesis chapter 1 with me. Genesis chapter 1. We're just going to go all the way back to where it gets started. The word Genesis means the beginnings. The book of Genesis, the first book in your Bible, is about how everything got started. It's amazing, and I'm not being facetious, not trying to mock anybody in any way here, but it is amazing the people throughout this country right now that are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars in debt to an institution of higher learning, and they still have no clue where they came from. And all they had to do was read the first chapter of the Word of God. That's all they had to do. You go to the dollar store and pick you up a King James Bible for $10, and you don't have to pay on student loans for the next 40 years of your life. It's amazing. The Bible will clear up a lot of education. Amen. Genesis chapter 1. But look here, Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26, the Bible says, "And God said," just something God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." I like that too. It says that man is to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And this isn't one of my points necessarily in the message, but I tell you, isn't it amazing that we have gotten to the place morally and spiritually in our land where an animal has more value than a human being? Isn't it a horrible thing? But that's where we're at. Verse number 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him." Now here it is. "Male and female created he them." God made them male and female. He created Adam. He was the first man. He created Eve, the first woman. But God made male and female. That's how he got this thing going. And then he told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. How did the earth get overspread with people, by the way? It was men and women doing what God told men and women to do. Amen. He said to the male and the female, the husband, the wife, "You be fruitful and you multiply, you replenish the earth." That's how the earth got overspread with people. We didn't just happen upon earth the result of some evolutionary process or a big explosion. God made man in his own image, male and female, and he said, "You be fruitful and multiply." Let me ask you something, and this is really on the next point, but had he made man and man, how many people would have ever been on the earth, by the way? Just two. None of us would even be here, right? That is so simple, it amazes me that people can't understand that concept. But he made them male and female. How many of you understand that's still what God does? He hasn't changed his creation process. He still makes male and female. He makes each person exactly what he wants them to be. Every person that's born is either born a male or they're born a female. That's the way God makes them. But here's what's going on in our land. People, through surgeries and medicine, are now changing their anatomy. Isn't that what's going on? They're changing. Men want to be women. Women want to be men. Isn't that amazing? Men want to be women. God made them a man, but they're not happy with what God made them. And this is what people say now. I've heard it many times. "I was born in the wrong body." Y'all heard them say that before? "I was born in the body of a man, but I'm really a woman." And that's how they justify the change that they undertake. And it's so bad now that even in public you have bathrooms that make no distinction between a male and a female bathroom. It's that bad, right? I'm not making this up, am I? Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. This is promoted, you hear me? This is promoted as acceptable behavior. We are told, in fact, that we are never to say anything that would be offensive to someone who decides they want to make this change. We are to accept it, we're to tolerate it. It is promoted as good behavior, as justified behavior, as legitimate behavior. It is not legitimate behavior. It is nonsense. It is a violation of the Word of God is what it is. Here is an area, and I can't believe I'm even having to talk about it. This is an area where we need to build a wall right here between the she's and the he's. You and I don't need to ever accept this as legitimate good behavior. It's wrong. It's a sin. We need to build a wall and maintain that wall. But it's promoted as acceptable behavior. I read not too awful long ago, and I can't remember if I shared it with the church or not. I might have, but I read not too awful long ago about this man. He's a Christian. He was a teacher in a public high school here in America. And over the course of the summer, there was a student that had a change. And I can't remember if the student went from being a man, a boy, to a girl, or vice versa. I don't remember which one it was. But whenever school started back, this student was in this man's class and demanded that it be referred to as whatever sex it had changed itself into. Y'all still follow me? I haven't confused you too much, have I? He refused to do that. Just say it was a boy originally. He would not refer to that child as a girl. He would not. Couldn't do it. That was a Christian man who knew that what that child had done wrong. The parents insisted that that child be referred to differently. He would not bow down. The principal brought him into the office and told him that if he did not change his mindset and start calling that child what it had been changed into, he would lose his job. That man lost his job. Thank God for that man. Thank God for that man who was willing. That's what I'm talking about. Are you willing to make some sacrifices to maintain these walls? Are you willing to put your job, your neck, your life on the line? God's looking at us, friend. He's looking at us. There needs to be a wall built between the she's and the he's. I got to move on. I'm almost out of time. Let me say, second of all, there needs to be a wall built between the straights and the crookeds. The straights and the crookeds. Turn to Leviticus chapter 18, and you're wondering what I'm talking about. Some of you may already know what I'm talking about. Leviticus chapter 18. Listen to me now. The straights and the crookeds. For years, openly gay people have referred to those of us who are not gay as what? That's not us. That's what they call us, right? People that are gay say us folk that aren't gay, those of us who are heterosexual, they say we are straight. Isn't that what they call us? Now listen to me, folks. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But if I'm straight and they're the opposite of me, what does that make them? Was it? If I'm straight, that's what they say I am. And I am 100%. You hear me? But if I'm straight and they're the opposite of me, there's only one thing they can be. And that's crooked as a dog's hind leg. And I'm telling you right now, there needs to be a wall built and maintained between the straights and the crooked. More and more, this lifestyle choice, which is exactly what it is being rammed down our throats. Have y'all noticed how it's ramped up on television now? Have you noticed how almost every commercial has something about that in it now? And it's not just commercials, but it's sitcoms that come on now. Those sitcoms that come on, most of those things are so vile and wretched and ungodly, just pushing that stuff down our throat. Movies now, I remember back this summer, there was a movie came out called Love, Simon. I don't know how many of y'all heard about that movie. But if you'll research that thing, it was called Love, Simon. It was about a young boy in high school who was queer, and he came out to his parents, and the whole movie was about how that boy came out and let everybody know, took a stand on, you know, how he was queer. And people applauded him. You have it now where the news media rams it down our throat. Talk show hosts, they will have on somebody that is openly gay and they'll applaud them on national television for coming out and exposing the fact that they are gay. Right? It's amazing. Now, I'm going to read you one verse here, Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 22. Leviticus 18, 22 says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is, what is that word? Abomination. You a Bible believer, are you? Amen. You know what I've seen? This is the part that bothers me, folks, and I'm running out of time. I got to move on. This thing bothers me is I have seen people for years and years who said being gay, queer, whatever you want to call it, gay actually at one time was used in a good way. That's just another word that they've trashed, okay? But it's amazing to me how I've seen people through the years that said, I'm against that, I'm against that, I'm against that. And then suddenly they had a grandson that said he was queer. And now all of a sudden somebody that all their life has said they was against it begins to compromise their conviction because it is now in their family. Let me tell you something. I love you. I don't care if it's your son, your daughter, your grand young'un, great, 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 whatever they are. It's an abomination in the eyes of God. And you're a low-down, good-for-nothing compromiser if you make an exception because it affects your family. We need to build a wall. God made it very clear in his word how he feels about it. He burnt Sodom and Gomorrah absolutely to the ground. Didn't he? Because of that perversion going on there, you read Romans chapter 1, that is the product of people that have been given over to vile affections. Vile affections, what the Bible says. Anybody who agrees with this is a Bible rejecter, okay? You cannot read the Bible and believe that mess is all right. You cannot do it without rejecting what the Bible says. You can't do it. There needs to be a wall built between the straights and the crooked. You know what I believe? I'm just so crazy. I believe they shouldn't be given any rights. I don't. I don't believe they should be allowed to hold office. I don't believe absolutely they should be able to hold office in a church. Do you know we have openly gay preachers in this country now? Well, they call themselves preachers. They're not a preacher. Okay, they're an abomination. That's what they are, an abomination eyes of God. I don't believe they should be given privileges, and I know that some of you think that's harsh. Once again, let's read the Bible, okay? I'll give you a couple of books in your Bible you go read. Go read 1 Kings and 2 Kings. And you know what you're going to find in those two books of the Bible? You will find that whenever Israel had a righteous king, not Israel, I'm sorry, Judah had a righteous king on the throne that brought about revival, not only did he go through the land and wipe out all of the idolatry that was going on, you know something else that he put on his agenda that he made sure happened? He got all of the Sodomites out of the land. That's what he did. Now, that's in your Bible, friend. That shows you how God feels about it. Should we tolerate that mess? No, we shouldn't tolerate that mess. God doesn't tolerate it. Number three, I got to move on. There needs to be a wall built between she's and he's, straights and crookeds. Number three, there needs to be a wall built between salvation and religion. Liberals in the world and even in the church now, modernists, liberals, are blaspheming and belittling the blood of Jesus Christ and his redemptive work on the cross by exalting the good works of man. It's throughout the land now. These people emphasize benevolence, baptism, church membership, mass, Hail Marys, confession, and all this other stuff as a means of getting forgiveness and gaining entrance into heaven. And all it's doing is damning souls to hell. You hear me? That's what religion does. There needs to be a wall built right here, and we need to maintain that wall with the truth of the Scripture. Salvation is not by religion. Salvation is by grace through faith and the finished work of Jesus Christ. And all across this land now, you have these people who are always talking about how good somebody is. They hold up man and talk about man and make a big deal out of man, and nothing is said about the blood of Jesus Christ. There needs to be a wall built right here. And last of all, I got to finish up here. Just moving through, I'm leaving out a lot. Number four, there needs to be a wall built between the spiritual and the carnal. Here's something that's real troubling to me. I'm talking about the decline morally and spiritually of our nation. Tell you one reason why this country is going down the tube so fast, and it's really ramped up, hasn't it? the reason it's going down the tube so fast morally and spiritually is because more and more now the spiritual is being replaced by the carnal in our churches. That's why. More and more the spiritual is being replaced by the carnal in our churches. The good old hymns that we've sung for years and years and years that have always got the job done are now being replaced by contemporary music that sounds like something you'd hear in a bar or some other place like that, a nightclub, something like that. Those good old hymns are not sufficient anymore, so we're going to throw them out and we're going to bring in contemporary music, something that sounds like something you'd hear in a bar. Good, hard, straight, plain Bible preaching is now being replaced by little sermonettes designed to make people feel good about themselves. You hear that stuff all the time. They interview folks that go to these churches and they say, you know, when I went there, I just left feeling so good about myself. Well, there's sometimes you ought to leave feeling good about yourself, like whenever you repented and got right with God. But let me tell you something. If you're harboring sin in your life, and you're not repenting of that, you ought not feel good about yourself when you leave church. Church isn't about feeling good, folks. Church is about God. Church is about getting right with the Lord, doing whatever it is we need to do in our lives to be in line with Him. It's not about coming and getting goose pimples down our back and feeling all great about ourselves when we leave. But most of the sermons are designed for that now. Instead of an emphasis being put on soul winning and missions and living for God and doing right, now churches are all about entertainment. There are churches now who are putting in Starbucks coffees, swimming pools, rec centers. And I'm not saying necessarily that those things are wrong. I just don't believe that church is about entertainment. Okay. I didn't come here to entertain anybody this morning, and I'm pretty sure I have accomplished my goal. People make comments like, well, I want to go to a church where I can have fun. What do you have for my kids? Because I want my kids to have fun. Let me say something. If you care about your children, as a parent, them having fun at church won't be the priority in you deciding where to take your kids to church. It'll be Bible preaching that'll make up your mind. Because that is the greatest thing that your child could ever hear, is truth from the Word of God. Entertainment's not what's going to get them into heaven. Entertainment's not going to get them to sell out and be faithful to God. But that's what church is about now. All that carnal stuff. Let's get away from the Bible and the truth and entertain people so they'll feel good and feel accepted and not be down on themselves. We're replacing the spiritual with carnal. And it's costing us dearly. It's costing us dearly. Folks, I'm telling you this morning, we need to build some walls. Are you willing this morning as God's people to build some walls? Walls that are founded on the Word of God. Take a stand and say, no matter what, I'm going to stand right here. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to build a wall between the she's and the he's? You willing to do that this morning? The straights and the crooked. Salvation and religion. The spiritual and the carnal. If we don't, I'm just telling you, our country is through. You understand? Morally and spiritually, our country is through. And I just believe, I'm looking at some people this morning that love the United States of America, that love this country, that thank God for what we have in this land. Am I wrong about that? Y'all love this country, don't you? Amen. Listen to me. If we really love this land, then more than anything else, we'll be concerned about the spiritual well-being of our country. Because if we're not right spiritually, we'll never be right in any other way. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come to you this morning thankful for the opportunity to be here, thankful for the Word of God. Lord, I do pray you'd help me, help each one of us here that's saved to take a stand for the right, to stand on the Word of God. Lord, help us to not compromise for any reason. God, I pray for our land. I pray for Christians all across this land, people that are truly saved, that believe the Word of God, that you'd help us, Lord, to realize what a mess we're in, and that the responsibility more so than anywhere else lies with us to do what we need to do. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page number 20.